just between us. Hey! Just between us. Hey!
Hello! I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, director, and lover of discounts.
Oh, I'm Gabby Dunn. I'm a writer, bicon, bisexual icon, wink, and airplane crossword aficionado.
That's true. I have seen you complete every crossword you've ever encountered on a plane.
I finish them.
Yeah. I also just say crossword.
Crosswood.
This is Just Between Us, a podcast about brutal honesty,
female friendship,
and completely unsolicited advice.
Have you ever seen me finish one so fast and then been kind of worried about me?
No, I think it's awesome.
Oh, okay. Sometimes I'm like, is this normal?
I actually don't understand how to do crosswords.
Really?
Well, because the clues are not normal clues. Like, there's a special crossword language that I don't understand.
Yes, they're trying to, they're clever. They're trying to get you.
Yeah. I had a math teacher at boarding school who created crosswords.
Like, as a hobby?
Uh-huh.
How do you get to do that?
I think you have to just be, like, so smart. That man was so smart and just teaching idiots.
But he was a math teacher?
Yeah.
Did crosswords?
He is a man of a lot of talents.
Yeah, what a jack of all trades.
Yeah, I was kicked out of his class because I wasn't smart enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was in BC Calc and they were like, you should be in AB Calc. And I was like, no prob.
What, was he mean?
He was like intimidating, but not mean.
My math teacher was super mean.
Every year or just one in particular?
Oh, I went to a very small school.
So you had the same math teacher every year?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Isn't that weird? My graduating class, 35 kids.
Oh my God. I never knew it was that small.
Oh yeah. And I wasn't liked. So it was like a small group. But it was bad because let's say you didn't get along with one particular teacher, then you had to still have that teacher.
Wow.
So it was like this woman hated me. And then I would just be like, see you next year.
I had the same Latin teacher for many, many years.
We met him.
Yeah. He came to our book event in Los Angeles.
It was so sweet.
I know.
So when you get like a really good teacher, like for all you teachers out there, when you're like Yeah. When you're like a really good teacher, I mean, you be part of that person's life forever. You make an impact. You're like wonderful. And when you're a bad teacher, you really fuck kids up forever.
I'm not 100% sure on the accuracy of this, but I think that a teacher once taped my mom's mouth shut. I know.
And that shit was legal back then.
And now she won't tell me anything. It's hard to get her to talk.
See, the teacher did that to her.
It overcorrected.
And the teacher did that to her.
No, she will talk, but she won't talk about her own life, which is an ongoing issue we have.
It's just very important for teachers to not set precedents like that, where now Allison's mom won't ever talk about herself.
Thank you. You know, whoever you are, you're probably dead, but fuck you.
Well, good. I'm glad.
We have a very exciting episode for you this week where we won't wish harm on anyone else.
We're talking to Eva Sweeney. We're going to be asking her some tough questions.
And later on, we'll be talking all about comedy and PC culture because you know that's a conversation people are dying to have.
Oh, my God.
But first, hit it. Ariana, WA, Australia. Ariana's question is sort of about a fear of being alone. She writes, I'm a 25-year-old woman, and I've never been in a romantic relationship. It never used to get me down, but lately all of my friends are coupling up or getting engaged or married, and I'm beginning to feel very lonely. The fear of ending up alone is getting harder to ignore. I know men like me. The concern is that I'll never find a man I truly like. Mm. I try to date, but I lose interest quickly. I want to fall in love, but my skepticism is really preventing this. I would like some advice. Is there something fundamentally wrong with me? How do I meet men that genuinely interest me? How do I stop seeing myself as superior to men and therefore refrain from viewing them as nothing more than good-for-nothing nuisances? Have I lost my chance at finding a genuine, stable partner? Or even how do I get over this fear as it's causing me quite a bit of anxiety?
Okay, I'm going to say something controversial.
Okay.
Have you considered lesbianism?
Okay, I didn't know if I was allowed to bring that up. I'm so curious if maybe Ariana just isn't romantically interested in men.
Because I don't want to, like, scare you, Ariana, but, like, there's this narrative of, like, oh, my God, I've known since I was, like, a kid. I've known since I was whatever. A lot of my friends haven't come out until much later in life. So there's no pressure to be, like, if I didn't know at 18 or, you know, 17, there's no way that I could possibly be queer. However, I'm you're straight, Allison.
Yes.
Do you see yourself as superior to men and therefore view them as nothing more than good-for-nothing nuisances?
I plead the fifth.
Okay. Okay. But nothing
I mean, I understand why it is difficult to be a straight woman in 2019 because men are extremely problematic.
Oh, it sounds horrible.
And I have said time and again that I try to interact with as few men as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, I live with a man. I love my father very much. Our manager is a man. Our sound engineer is a man. We have I have a lot of great male friends. So, no, but I understand this feeling of, like, men in general being problematic. I don't understand what her sexual feelings are towards men. And so that's why it's hard for me to fully give advice on this
topic.
Yeah,
like, you don't actually like them. Do you want to fuck them?
Right.
I just also want to point out to Ariana that I am proud of you. A positive. I am proud of you because it is good to not just date someone who likes you and you don't like them. I'm mm-hmm. so glad you know that. I'm so glad you're aware of that. I'm so glad you have that in your mind.
What I don't like is that this question of is something wrong with me?
No.
And also just keep in mind that you're 25, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, that's really young. Very few people have, like, met their long-term partner at that age. The 20s are the decade for friendship.
Yeah.
You know, so just because you're not in a romantic relationship doesn't mean that you have to feel alone. Maybe it's about being more, you know, platonically intimate with your friends and relying on them more and letting them feel more like your family.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, the bigger thing is figuring out how you don't feel alone and how you don't judge yourself for the situation. Because, mm-hmm. you know, there's a chance that you are afraid of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be part of why when you, like, start to date someone, you stop liking them and think they're a nuisance.
Yeah, because you don't want – they want to get to know you, and you're like, ugh, why?
And that's scary. And so then you're, like, fight or flight responses to, like, run away. And
I relate to that.
To explain why you run away, you're like, well, they're an idiot.
Yeah, I relate to that.
So if that's what's going on, you know, which is something you have to, like, really dig into yourself to see, then that's something you need to work through and, like, go to therapy, and it's just an attachment issue, and that's a thing a lot of people face, mm-hmm. and it's something you can get over.
Yeah, read about attachment theory.
But if it's just truly, like, you are open to, you know, being intimate with someone and you just haven't found that person, that's okay. And, like, take that pressure off of yourself. I hadn't found my person when I was 25, and believe me, every single day I said I'm going to be alone forever.
Yeah, you have not lost your chance at finding a stable partner. There's no such thing as losing your chance. But I also want to say, like, there is a world in which maybe you are aromantic or asexual.
I was going to say that too.
Like, that could also be a thing, which, like, maybe you feel a societal pressure to couple up because in a traditional way, because of the way that you're seeing your friends couple up. People who are aromantic and asexual absolutely are in relationships and absolutely do date. But maybe you just are – maybe that's something to explore for yourself because you're like, well, why doesn't the way I want to date look like the way that my friends want to date?
Can you just explain aromantic versus asexual?
Oh, sure. Aromantic is like you're not interested in any kind of romantic relationship. You have partners maybe, but like it's sort of either like a platonic companionship. And then asexual is like where you're just not as driven – like by sex, or you're not interested as much in sex, and those people also are in relationships. It's kind of two different things. But I just think you should examine your heterosexuality, or you should examine make a list, right? Like, what do you actually want from a partner? What do you mm-hmm. actually think would ideally be the best situation? It could just be like, I would like to go to the movies with someone.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to have someone who, like, brings me coffee in the morning. Whatever it is. Like, what are you looking for?
Like, if the issue is that she just doesn't like any men and she feels superior to men, then, you know, look, is there anyone in your life who's male, potentially a paternal figure or a mentor or a friend who you do like and you do respect? Then maybe, you know, spend more time with them or really think about them and their values and show that they're kind of like that they're breaking this idea you have of men in general. You know,
oh,
I think
see.
When you're thinking of men in general, it's very easy to put them all in the same box. But maybe like go through your life and your interactions with people on a daily basis. And, you know, if like the cashier at 7-Eleven, if you have that in Australia, is like a nice, friendly guy, like be like, okay, well, he seems okay. Not to date, but just to sort of like break down your idea that all men are bad.
True. Yeah. And to make them individuals rather than a lumped in group.
Exactly.
I also think like Yeah, it could be a self-protection thing, too. Like a thing where you don't want to ever get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to have to get hurt.
Yeah, and honestly, you're feeling hurt right now and feeling alone. So you just experiment and see what works and put yourself out there. And also don't force anything and don't rush anything and take away the judgment on yourself because you don't need to have that.
What if she's not finding anyone interesting because she's not doing any interesting stuff? Like, what if
You said because she lives in Australia.
No. I just mean, like, what if she, like, joined, like, a club for something she really liked?
Oh,
or,
yeah. That's
like, started,
advice.
Like, going to, like, Magic the Gathering or joined, like, a gym or whatever. Like, started doing, like, hobbies or going to things that she really enjoyed, midnight movies, whatever. And then she could meet people there that, like, share her interests that she might actually find interesting.
Yeah.
If it's, like, some dude at your office, you're going to be like, meh. But you know what I mean? But if it's like, oh, I've gotten really into skydiving. Oh, wow, I met another guy skydiving. We're both so interesting because we love skydiving or whatever.
Maybe even through volunteering, because that's going to probably bring about men who are more aware of the world and not as self-important. Yeah, so I would maybe volunteer and maybe, like, look into local politics, you know, like, you know, explore the types of places where you would want the men that you would date to be a part of.
Yes, you'll find them where you would want them to be.
Wow, that's
Such really a good
idea. Advice. Yeah.
I think we solved it.
I think so, too. If you want us to completely solve your complicated problem, send an international question to justbetweenuspod@gmail.com. That's justbetweenuspod@gmail.com.
Next up, we're going to talk to disability activist Eva Sweeney all about cerebral palsy and her work as a sex educator.
Ooh. Just between us.
Hi, everyone. Allison here. Anyone who knows me well knows that I love to read. I am always looking for new books, and that is why I am so excited that this episode is sponsored by Book of the Month. Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and to promote the work of emerging authors. It was so fun for me to get to pick which book I wanted to read this month and have it shipped right to my door. Book of the Month makes it easy to decide which book to read next. Each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles. They pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All the books are good, so you can't go wrong. Every aspect of the Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. They have a highly anticipated release at the beginning of each month. Books are delivered in this really adorable bright blue box, and there's a fun app to help you pick your book and track your reading process. They also offer great values on new release hardcover fiction. It's much cheaper than other options. Shipping is always free, and with a loyalty program, you get rewards and even lower prices the longer you stay as a member. My first book from Book of the Month was The Husbands by Holly Gramazio. I am tearing through this book. It is so fun. It's basically about this woman who one day comes home and there's a husband in her apartment, and she's like, "Where did you come from?" And then she figures out that every time her new husband goes into the attic, a new husband comes out, and she's like shuffling through all these different husbands from the attic trying to figure out which one is the best. It is right up my alley, and I love it so much. So if you want to take part in Book of the Month and have a brand new book shipped right to your door every single month, go to bookofthemonth.com and get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That's $5 off with code PETALS. I cannot recommend this enough.
Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused, and I also get super stressed out, and I think that not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com, T-R-U-V-A-G-A.com, and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's Truvaga.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you all about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Right before I found out about this project, my mom made an offhand comment about wanting to write a memoir because she had such a wild childhood and there are all these things she's never really talked to us about. But asking someone to sit down and write a memoir is kind of daunting. So then I got her MyLifeInABook.com, and now she's getting prompts to answer on a weekly basis, and it's a lot easier than just undertaking an entire memoir. I'm so excited to see what my mom does with MyLifeInABook.com because she's someone who doesn't always feel comfortable just sharing about herself, but having these prompts and knowing that I really want to hear her answers is going to inspire her to probably share more with me about her life and her upbringing than I've ever been shared with before. So I'm so excited for that. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code JUSTBETWEENUS at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code JUSTBETWEENUS for 10% off today.
Welcome back to Just Between Us. It's time for the juiciest, most scandalous, controversial segment known to all of podcasting, Tough Questions.
This week we have disability activist and sex educator Eva Sweeney here with us in the studio.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start out by explaining what's going to happen. Eva brought an aide with her. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Well, hi, my name is Cameron. I'm Eva Sweeney's assistant. I help her just with whatever she needs because she's nonverbal, I'm going to be voicing whatever Eva wants to say. So for a lot of the podcast, I'm going to be reading some pre-written answers that Eva wrote up. But for anything else, you might hear me spelling from her letter board.
Yeah, so Cameron acts as Eva's voice, basically. And we'll get, like, further into that as we explain, like, how that actually works. So let's explain, like, what CP is and how it affects you. And then we can get into, like, how Cameron fixes the nonverbal issue.
Yeah. Well, cerebral palsy is a disability that occurs at birth. It is from a lack of oxygen to the brain, which causes brain damage to the area that deals with fine motor skills. Everyone with CP is different, but for me, it means I cannot walk, so I use a wheelchair, and I'm nonverbal, so I use a letter board to communicate. I also have assistants who help me with daily tasks like eating, driving, typing, going to the bathroom, and so on.
And our next question that we so professionally typed up. We just kind of wanted to know, like, what drew you to becoming a sex educator as a disabled person? For example, was it a lack of resources and information or representation you experienced personally? Sort of what was the motivation behind that?
When I was a little baby queer, I was looking for resources about how to integrate my sexuality and my disability, and I found zero. When I called different disability organizations, I was often laughed at or hung up on. When I called queer organizations, they were more welcoming, but they still didn't have any useful information for me. So I was like, fuck it, I'll just do it myself. So I wrote a hand guide called Queers on Wheels and began giving workshops around the country on sex and disability.
That's awesome.
So, right. So I think the assumption is that, like, there's a desexualization of people with disabilities, right?
Yes.
And I think, like, that's something that comes up that's surprising. Like, you're wearing your hat for Cripping Up Sex, which is your website and, the like, the work that you do, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's, like, this thing where people think that people with disabilities are not sexual at all.
Or should, or just should not have sex.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your response to that? Or what do you...
It is BS. I think that myth is because people want us to be easy to take care of, and owning your sexuality gives you power.
I guess, like, what are some of the, you know, since you've started this work that obviously was needed because it didn't exist anywhere else, you know, what were some of the most common sex questions you get asked, and what are your answers to them?
Well, my least favorite and most commonly asked sex question is, what sex toy do you recommend for people with disabilities? Now, I love talking about sex toys, but the reason I hate this question is because there's simply... is not like one single toy to rule them all.
Right.
It's not going to work for everyone all the time forever. Other questions are like, how do you talk to your partner about your disability? Or what should I do if I need to bring an assistant on a date? And the answer to both of these things is just honest, straightforward communication.
I love that. That's just advice for everyone about everything.
I know.
Pretty much. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you do, like, I think, review different sex toys for disability,
yes,
right? Because I
yes.
know there's a lot of, what are some, like, ones that are particularly good, let's say, for someone like you?
Well, my personal favorite is the magic wand. Because it's so big. So you don't have to be specific about where you place it. Yeah. Oh,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes total sense.
Totally.
And then what do you say to people about, like, bringing aids on dates or bringing, like, if you need to bring an aid, like, to help in the bedroom and stuff like that?
Just talk to your partner before the date. Obviously, you don't want to show up and be like, hey, here's this random person. Like, I also have a code for my aids. Yes. So when, like, me talking as Cameron, when I'm on a date with Eva or not, you know what I mean.
Yeah, you're accompanying, you're chaperoning.
When I am chaperoning.
No. Just kidding. When you're chaperoning to make sure Jesus is between them.
Yes, of course. There is a code for when Jesus needs to leave the room.
Yes. Can we hear the code?
Well,
or is it top
it's basically
secret?
There's like a little semicolon on her board that obviously.
I've always wanted to know what the point of a semicolon was.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we know.
Now there's a point. Yeah.
And so Eva can point at it and be like, get the fuck out.
Exactly. So I'll just go and take, like, a long walk or spend way too long in the bathroom or something so they can just, like, have time to get to know each other one-on-one. Aww. And, like, that way, I mean, like, I'm there to help you with, like, eating and drinking so somebody doesn't have to take that on the first date. Like, it's so you can get to know somebody. Yeah. And then there's a point where obviously if it's going well, you really want to get to know them a little more without me around. So
yeah.
So you have a long-term partner, right? Or I don't know how long.
Yes.
But I hear there's a cute backstory to that.
Oh, yeah.
We'd love for you to share.
Yes. Okay. So my partner and I met on Tinder. I honestly just joined Tinder one night because I was bored and I really didn't think I would find anyone there. I identify as butch and like people that are more masculine of center. But that's
same.
But that's really hard to find
who
in LA.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
There are no butches on Tinder.
It is bullshit.
It is crazy.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, that's super hard to find in LA for whatever fucking reason. So I was just, like, swiping on Tinder, and I matched with my current partner. And we started as just like a hookup, but
yeah, weren't you kind of just like, this is casual?
Yes,
this is
it
a
was
sex thing.
Just fucking. Yes, exactly. But 3.5 laters, here we are.
Oh, 3.5 years later.
Yes.
Oh wow.
Oh,
wow.
three and a half laters.
Days,
yes.
Weeks. I don't know.
Oh yes. Yeah. Yes. No. 3.5 years later, you guys are still doing stuff and more than just hooking up for sure. Yeah. But it's really cute.
That's the story everyone wants to hear about
I know.
Tinder.
Yeah, exactly.
That it just starts
that it
out.
Can turn into something beautiful long term.
Yeah, exactly.
How did you get to, like, what? At what point were you just like, oh, you know what? We should be really dating.
Z came over and was like, so we're dating, right?
And were you did you want that to happen or were you like,
yes.
Oh, okay.
At
you
that
were
point,
like
yes.
Blindsided, like, oh fuck. Oh, that's lovely.
I love that. Was there a learning curve when you started dating your partner?
Yes. I used to be of the mentality that my partner should absolutely never, for no reason, help me with any of my personal care.
Yeah.
I have seen people with disabilities have their partners become their primary assistant, and it can create like a sense of burden and ruin a relationship if you're not careful. So I didn't want that to happen to me. But over the years, I've slowly but surely let my partner help, like, more and more with things. Z's not my primary assistant by any means, but when we want more alone time together, we are able to take it out now. We are able to take it now because I have let here help me more and more. This was a learning curve primarily for me because my partner was always open to helping, but I had to overcome my stipulations in order to let here. I still kind of struggle with this, but I have come a long way since I first met my partner.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, I mean, it's vulnerable. It's mm-hmm. like just, it's like how anybody else is just like allowing vulnerability.
Exactly, yeah.
I know this is backtracking a little bit, but the letterboard thing, I don't know if we explained it. But, like, so you created this letterboard system.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so can you explain, like, visually what we're looking at, like, the laser pointer and the whole thing?
So, basically, the laser pointer is attached to her hat.
Yeah.
And because I have more good, like, head dexterity and movement and stuff. So that's like the easiest part of her body to move around mm-hmm. and point stuff with. Yes. And she just uses the laser pointer to point at letters and words on a letterboard. Mm-hmm. And I just say it out loud. I actually created this system when I was 16. Most yeah. people would point with their fingers or whatever, and most people use high-tech devices as well. So, you know, like Stephen Hawking, and that just didn't really work because a lot of times, like, you, with that kind of system, you kind of mm-hmm. have to sit and wait mm-hmm. for the person mm-hmm. to type out mm-hmm. the whole sentence and press play and then mm-hmm. respond mm-hmm. to the person. And mm-hmm. the whole time, the other person's just like, okay, mm-hmm. yeah. one day there'll be a response it's and then also, I can reply. It's just, wait, this is a way more engaging.
It's like, also expensive. Those things are expensive.
Very much so. This is, like, mm-hmm. so, yeah, the only thing you're paying for is batteries for your laser pointer. But this, like, as you can see, like, when I'm reading out loud, it's just so much more engaging. I'm constantly engaged, and I'm actually able to predict stuff that you're saying. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm not putting words in your mouth, because you'll be like, that's not what I meant. people can learn it really mm-hmm. quickly. Yeah, it's very very intuitive.
Yeah, I was shocked by how fast after we met I was predicting what you were spelling out.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like within like 20 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah, it really does not take long to get used to. And I've known you for 3 years and I whip through it, but like, and people are like, whoa, but it really does not take that long to get to that level. But
you've worked as a consultant on ABC Speechless, right? And
yes.
And the character there used a similar board.
Yeah, Speechless was just in general like a really cool experience for me. Way before Speechless got picked up by ABC, the creator of the show, Scott Silvery, was meeting with different people with disabilities because from the beginning he wanted the show to accurately portray people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And someone said he should get in touch with me. We had coffee together one day, and as soon as he saw my letterboard and, like, the chemistry dynamic between my assistant and myself, he immediately changed the script by adding the assistant character, played by Cedric Yarbrough, mm-hmm. and changed JJ's communication system from a high-tech device to my personal communication system, which, like I said, I invented. Which,
so cool. Yeah. Really cool.
Yeah. And when I became an official consultant on the show, I answered questions, read scripts, met with the writers, and sat in on table readings. I'm really proud about how that show came out, and I'm honored to have been a part of it.
Wow. That is awesome.
I bet the actor who played the aide is very thankful to you, too.
He loves me. Yeah. he said that many, many times and that he wouldn't have a job without me.
Because so, yeah. I remember you were saying that when you thought of the idea, you just, like, told your mom, like, can you get me a laser pointer?
Exactly. Because I used to use my hands, and, you know, obviously none of you can see your hands, but it just doesn't work nearly as well.
Yeah.
So it was just a lot slower too. Yeah, for sure.
Can you say some of the funny ones that are on the board?
Oh, yeah. You've got your custom, like, meow and cool and I was like, and fuck and oi. Well, actually,
it's
just the curse symbols.
Asterisk.
So, yeah. Like, I kind of, like, fill in the blank depending on the context.
Whatever curse it is.
Exactly. But it's
the meow was the one that made me laugh so hard because it's kind of like, isn't it like a sexy, like a meow?
Yeah, you definitely use it like that. Yeah, totally. You're not just like, I'm a cat.
No, obviously.
Yeah, and then there's exactly, and we actually recently added Z here because you may have heard earlier that those are the pronouns of Eva's partner. And obviously this board did not come with those neo pronouns.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it just makes it a lot easier in a sentence to use those. But those are pretty much it.
What are, like, some of the ways that able-bodied people can be better allies to disabled people, either politically or interpersonally?
Well, honestly, just listen to us. Don't assume you know what we want or need. And questions, of course, if they're respectful, are awesome. I know able-bodied people don't get much experience interacting with disabled people because of the way society is just structured. So I don't blame them for not knowing something, but assuming is never a good idea. And this goes really both politically and interpersonally.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, like, being careful with, like, what questions people ask you. Like, what are some questions that are on the no-no list?
Well, don't just be like, how do you have sex, you know? Like, to some random stranger on the street. If you're not, like, why are you interested? Like, what's
exactly.
the deal,
is
you
that
know?
A come on?
Yeah. Another question is, like, if my partner is my parent, you know? Like,
oh,
I'm out on a
God.
Date. You know? We're on a date, and, like, some middle-aged lady, it often is a middle-aged lady,
sure.
went up to my partner and said how cute here's kid was, referring to me. And that was hilarious, but also just shows that people really don't think people with disabilities date.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when strangers ask me how to have sex, just no. Don't do that. Yeah.
And you're like, look, it's going to take me a while to spell it out on my board. It's going to be very uncomfortable for both of us. Yeah, we were talking about, we brought up earlier, like, you're in your mid-30s. You're like, what, you had your birthday, you're 37, 36?
36.
And you're often infantilized in public, and you were telling me examples about that, like, about the aquarium, the thing that happened at the aquarium.
Oh,
like, how do you handle that? Can you talk about that? And then also, like, how do you handle that in the moment? Because you're funny, you sass.
Yeah. Let's see. So I've been given kids menus. People will talk to my assistant instead of talking to me. people talking to me like I'm 5 years old, mm-hmm. people patting me on the head, people praying for me. The list goes on. If I feel the person is open to learning, my aide gently redirects them, like, you can ask her a question. She's nonverbal and she can understand you. And that, for the most part, helps people correct their behavior. But when it just gets really weird, I just laugh it off. Because sometimes there's only so much you can do with individuals.
Yeah. And it's not your responsibility to, like, fix how everyone's interacting.
Exactly. Exactly.
The whole thing about people praying, like, Carrie's talked to me about that or whatever, where, like, people come up and they're like, I'll pray for you for a miracle, and it's like, I'm fine. Like, thank you.
Like, DI disability is like such a horrible thing. You gotta pray it away. Yeah, totally. When really it's like natural. It's a part of nature. Right. Disability. So it's like ridiculous.
Yes, and we all know prayer takes care of all of that.
Yes, of course.
That's why there's just like no more gun death.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's all the prayer.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Really doing it for us, for sure. Yeah.
So like, you've already done so much, you know, like you've worked on Speechless, you've created like the website where you're a sex educator. Like, is there some stuff that you're still like hoping to tackle, like some future goals you still have?
Well, in general, I would just really love to keep growing my sex education platform, Cripping Up Sex with Eva, and try to make it more into a full-time job. I do workshops about sex and disability both in person and online, and I have two blogs in which I answer questions that people ask anonymously about sex and disability and give sex advice, and I have another where I review the accessibility of different sex toy designs.
Huge.
Yes. So if I could keep doing that and actually get paid a little more for it, that would be really awesome.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it. This has been so interesting.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So where can people find you and follow your work?
Well, pretty much every social media is under Cripping Up Sex or Cripping Up Sex with Eva. So like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Patreon are really the main ones. And you can also check out everything on crippingupsexwitheva.com.
I love it.
Yes.
Highly recommend the Instagram.
Awesome.
Very, very good and informative.
Definitely.
Next up, we'll be playing Hypotheticals with our producer, Melissa.
Oh. Her final.
Don't even say it.
Okay,
it's
I'm
so
sorry.
Sad.
It is too sad.
So we have some upsetting news. This is going to be Melissa's last episode with us as our producer.
I got fired.
No. Oh, my God. Have you been planning to say that the whole time?
I have.
Yeah.
Me and Allison are horrible bosses, and we've fired Melissa.
And then made her still come on the show and talk about it.
Honestly, we keep losing producers.
I think it's probably us at this point.
I know that it's not, but it seems like it is.
No, I was always going to be a temporary producer. So.
I know, but sometimes, you know, it's like when you start like casually hooking up with someone and you're like, maybe I'll turn them into my girlfriend. That's what we were hoping.
That's
but,
honestly well. What I was hoping for.
It's fine. She won't commit.
I'll still be around.
Yeah, we still expect you to come to every recording. But in honor of her last episode, we wanted you to play hypotheticals with us.
You're
scared. You're nervous.
I am nervous.
Okay. So normally you get to see these ahead of time.
I know. That's what I'm nervous about. I thought I was going to get a sneak peek, but
no, I didn't even email them to you.
Nope.
Okay, Melissa, our first game is America's Favorite Game Show. Would you stay with this cheater?
Okay.
Oh boy.
Here we go. While listening to your significant other's podcast,
perfect,
you learn that they hooked up with their co-host as they talk about it on air. When you confront them, they explain it was just for the podcast, so the two hosts would seem like they have natural chemistry.
But they didn't actually hook up?
No, they did. But they did it for the podcast.
Oh my God.
They didn't realize you listened to their podcast, and they thank you for being so supportive.
Oh my gosh.
Would you stay with this cheater?
When did the hookup happen?
Yeah, were we together when the hookup happened?
Yes, that's why it's cheating.
Okay.
And how long have you and them been together?
8 months.
And how long have they known the co-host?
4 months.
They didn't ask my permission. They never expressed to me that they were interested in the co-host.
No, because you haven't ever really wanted to talk about their podcast.
Okay.
And they didn't.
Is the podcast good?
It's for a niche audience that you're not a part of.
Okay. But I listen to it.
Just to be supportive.
Okay.
And they weren't ever going to tell you.
No.
Yeah, I got to go.
Hold on.
Oh, Melissa's got more questions. Oh, wow.
Do they still have feelings for each other, or do they even have feelings for
each
other?
No, they've never had feelings for each other.
Okay, let's stay.
Wow! For that money.
Oh, my God. I guess I'm not polyamorous enough.
Well, I like Melissa's answer, and I accept it. Our next game, are you a terrible parent? Your five-year-old has terrible gas and always gets embarrassed.
Aww.
You convince your child that only they can hear their own farts.
Oh, no.
So there's nothing to be embarrassed about. For years, your child openly farts in public, unaware that other people can hear it. They are now married and happy, but have only been able to keep jobs where they work from home. Are you a terrible parent?
What is the deal with this person's spouse?
The person's spouse has just never mentioned it.
But, like, do they have any further issues? Like, do they have a dairy problem? Or is there foods they should not be eating?
Great question.
It's unclear because they've never gotten it checked out.
That's my fault because I'm the parent.
Yeah, you're a terrible parent. Yeah, you're a terrible parent because you should have taken them to the doctor.
Oh, because your kid has some toots and
said it was terrible gas.
Yeah. Are you like some sort of Christian scientist who doesn't believe in the doctor?
I don't know. As someone who's gone to many gastroenterologists, there's not much you can do.
Okay, but we didn't try.
Yeah, you didn't. Okay, fine. Yeah. So you're a bad parent, and they have a wonderful wife.
I get, yeah, the wife is a saint.
Yes.
Okay, our final game. I'm so sad that you're leaving. Okay. Is this a date? You have to move across the country for a job, and your old roommate suggests you make the drive with their friend who is also moving.
Hmm.
You end up spending 6 full days with this person, and you decide to share motel rooms to save money. His name is Harry, and your name is Sally. Is this a date?
Yes, it's a romantic comedy.
Totally a date.
You don't kiss.
You don't kiss the whole time.
No, yeah, kissing. But it's like,
but are you falling in love?
If it's Sally and Harry, it's like you're playing the long game.
The long game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You have had sex multiple times. You just haven't kissed.
Wait, what?
Like a prostitute.
Look, not everybody likes to kiss.
Yeah, sometimes kissing's okay. Extra.
Is it like above the waist kissing that's just out, or is there below the waist kissing that's still in?
No lip action.
Oh my gosh, no.
I'm gonna say it was a date, but it's not going well.
Yeah.
All right. But the thing is you end up moving in together because you find a good apartment.
Okay.
But are you soulmates?
No, but you do get married.
Aww.
But they never go down on me?
No.
No.
Well, that's, you know.
Because that's why they're not your soulmate.
They're not their soulmate, and that's why together you make just a really gassy little kid.
Oh, my God.
Wow, I love when the Marvel Cinematic Universe comes together.
Thank you so much for playing this, Melissa. We'll have you back in shortly to rate us on your overall experience with us this podcast.
And to say a proper goodbye.
Yeah.
Aww. I think we're going to cry and you'll be fine. Stay tuned. After the break, we'll be talking all about comedy and PC culture.
Ugh.
Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused, and I also get super stressed out, and I think the not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com, TRUVAGA.com, and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's TRUVAGA.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS.
Welcome back to Just Between Us. It is time for topics.
XXXXXXXXXX.
Baby.
Baby.
So this week, we're going to talk about comedy in a PC world.
Ugh.
That's pretending that the world is PC, which is not true.
I hate comedy.
Okay, tell me more.
Comedy is not funny.
Okay. And so what is your definition of comedy, just so I know what your point of view?
Great. All of it. Okay, I don't like, this is hard to say because there are stand-up comedians that I do like, but stand-up comedy in general is everyone acts like it is this like untouchable like art form that is so it's beyond rules. It's like, it, you know, whatever. And largely, it's not good.
I mean, yeah, to give context about why we're talking about this, online there's been a lot of discussion about like, what's appropriate to make jokes about, right? And so a lot of comedians have kind of vocalized that, like, they feel like because of this PC culture, they can't make the jokes that they would normally get to make. You know, like their homophobic, racist, sexist jokes.
Which, by the way, they really want to make. PC culture is literally just like, don't be an asshole.
Yeah. It's, and so, like, you know, there's like kind of two sides to this war on comedy. One being, I'm a comedian. I should be able to say anything that I want about any topic that I want. The whole point of comedy is to be provocative.
Sure.
It's not the same thing as just saying it in conversation. It's comedy.
Okay.
And then the other side is like, that's not true.
Here's the thing. Free speech applies only to the government, which everyone uses the terms free speech as if it applies to private organizations or to interpersonal relationships, and it does not. It is that the government cannot silence different opinions, okay? Mm-hmm. So you're already using free speech wrong.
It means it's not illegal, but that doesn't mean that it's not wrong.
Yes. And two, speaking purely in a capitalist society, we work on supply and demand, right? If you're an artist and you create something, you're allowed to say whatever you want.
You just have to deal with the fallout.
You just have to be ready for people to go, we don't like that.
Exactly.
And they're not. They're little piss babies. And they can't handle it. So they're like, not only do I want to be able to say what I want everyone to love me for saying it. And that second part, you don't get to control that.
Look, like, I love jokes. I'm like, people can make jokes about me. And if they're funny, I'll laugh, even if I'm deeply wounded. But, like, so rarely these jokes that are, like, at the center of these controversies are actually funny. It's lazy joke writing. It's like relying on like this like punch down comedy.
Attack.
Like attack
boring
comedy. And it honestly, to me, when you do that, like when you say your racist joke and you say your sexist joke, like it kind of just like reads as anger to me.
Yeah.
You know, like you have to like attack this marginalized group. And it's like, why? And I also just think that this idea that something has been a certain way for a long time means that it should be that way forever is just flawed thinking.
Oh, so huge.
You know, like the fact that like, what, in the 70s and 80s, I could say all these things and nobody cared. That doesn't mean that that's still okay.
Like, also, here's the thing. People did care.
They did care. You just didn't listen to them.
You just didn't listen to them and they didn't have any way to, they didn't have a platform and they didn't have any way to talk about it. It was very fascinating because so many people point to Eddie Murphy's Raw as like an example of like, that's one of the best specials ever. And he was allowed to say whatever he wanted. And that's like a, you know, a diamond level special, right? Then they get an interview with Eddie Murphy recently. And he was like, oh yeah, when I recorded Raw, I was an asshole. And I was like, and now what are you going to use as your example? Or like that interview that was going around with George Carlin being like, you shouldn't punch down. An interview with George Carlin from like the 80s where he was like, yeah, you shouldn't punch down.
And so punch down is a term that's like, you're in a position of power and you're punching people that are below you. So like if you're a celebrity, like attacking a random regular person.
Yeah. Or if you're a cis person attacking a trans person.
Right.
Like these gods that they have built up as being these people who are untouchable comedians who they say like, well, they got to say whatever they wanted. Those people actually were like, no, are now coming out being like, no.
Also, like, let's look at priorities. Let's pretend for a second that like your racist joke is actually very funny. We're pretending.
Okay.
does that mean that that's what you want to put out in the world? Like, do you want to, like, keep that going, keep that narrative being something people talk about, something people laugh about, like, continuing the, like, the hacky jokes that, like, are super offensive that were, like, on Friends because that was, like, however long ago, you know, like, or do you want to, like, work towards a better society where people don't automatically make a gay joke because they aren't seeing their comedians do that? Like, you know, like, you have a direct line to, like, influencing the way people talk and our vernacular and our entertainment, and you want to use that power to, like, maintain racism, sexism, homophobia? That's insane.
Yeah.
And you're a bad person.
I think especially right now in, like, what's going on in the world, like, there's literal, like, Nazis at the helm. Like, let's attack that. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, I just, like, I don't think
you're not speaking truth to power if you're going after people who don't have any power.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the overall point of, like, you can still do whatever you want, but you have to deal with the ramifications. And also just, like, I think it's such bullshit to attach themselves to this higher issue of, like, making a racist joke and then being like, but comedy, you know, it's like,
shut up.
Like, you can't attach yourself to this, like, greater, like, this greater purpose or, like, you know, it's like these anti-abortion people being like, but life is life. And then, like, wanting the kids to die at the border. Like, yeah, it's, you know, like, you don't actually care about the purity of comedy. You just, like, want to be able to say whatever joke you think is funny.
Yeah.
And, like, you can say that, but guess what? I'm going to unfollow you on Twitter. I'm not going to watch your special.
And that's capitalism.
Exactly.
And, like, it just comes down to, just because you, like, made something, you're not owed everyone to be like, this was amazing and we love everything that you do.
Ugh, but imagine how nice it would be if that was true.
Well, then you're Beyonce.
Melissa, want to come on in and say your final goodbye along with your thoughts? Oh, God, I'm so sad. So what do we think?
I'm going to give this a perfect 10.
We've achieved it! Finally!
Woo!
Finally!
Wow. Now we can stop the podcast.
Yeah, it ends with me.
Wow. And that was your plan all along, wasn't it?
How would you rate working with us overall?
Wow.
You were supposed to do something. Do you remember what you were supposed to do?
No, what?
You're supposed to hook me up with somebody.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to take off points for that.
You know what it is? I only know single women.
I'm just joking.
I don't know any men.
Yeah.
None at all.
Wait, I might know a man. No, I don't know if he's single. I'm gonna write down some men that I know. Hold on.
So I'm gonna write 9.5 for that.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. But it would have been a 10.
But also, here's the thing: doesn't mean I'm gonna stop looking.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna find you. I'm gonna look for some men.
Okay.
I don't know any, but I'm gonna find them.
But no, I've really loved working with you guys, and it's been great. And I'm gonna miss you.
Oh, I know we're gonna miss you too. Such a bummer. But it was just like, you know, better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all.
Yeah.
What was everyone's funniest part of the episode?
I just thought the whole thing was just fun.
Yeah.
It's my aunt had cerebral palsy, and so this was just, like, great to have someone else on and hear her story and the differences between her and my aunt. So I loved it. I loved her. It was great.
I liked when I love the story of her just trying to have casual sex, and
right.
then 3 years later, it's her, like, serious partner.
and the colons, too.
Oh, I love the semicolon. It's so good.
Oh, my God, the semicolon. Yeah. We have to steal that.
It's incredible.
It is perfect.
Before we do our sign off, what is one final piece of advice you'd love to leave our listeners with?
Oh, please.
To keep listening to the show and tell all your friends.
Oh, and that's Melissa. Why we love Melissa.
That's so sweet.
Thank you so much to Eva Sweeney for being our guest. Just Between Us is hosted by me, Allison Raskin.
And me, Gabby Dunn.
Our engineer is Brendan Burns. He also composed our killer theme music.
Our producer for the final time is Melissa D. Motz.
Oh my gosh.
Our supervising producer is Josephine Martirana.
Our executive producer is Chris Bannon.
Just Between Us is a production of Stitcher.
I miss you already.
Goodbye, Melissa.
Bye.
Miss you too.
Stitcher.